Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today. And we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. We're continuing the series, A New Hope. Thank you so much, Aunt. We're continuing the series, A New Hope. A New Hope. And this series is about, man, how God fulfilled his greatest promise. How God fulfilled his greatest promise. In Ephesians chapter 1, it reads, verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the time reaches their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ." And if you have something, please stick it there in Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to come back to that a little bit later. But I want to read one more scripture before we kind of jump into the word. And that's John chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 24. John chapter 5 and verse 24. And it reads like this. It says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." From death to life. Bow your heads, let's pray very briefly. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to speak your word. I thank you that using me as a vessel today to bring hope and life and love to this congregation, Lord, I pray that you would just continue to bless us, continue to let your Holy Spirit lead our services. Lord, you continue to take first place in all that we do. And even in this message, Lord, I decrease that you might increase in this message, Lord. I pull back that you might push forward, God, in what I say and in what we do today. God, let your sign of hope, let your eternal life live, and let it spring forth in all of us, God, and let us move forward from today, never the same. Never the same in our lives, never the same from this moment, that we would see and know you in a special way. I thank you for it, Lord. I believe in you. And I believe in your word. Thank you for bringing it to us today. In Jesus' name, everybody said. Everybody said? Nice and loud. Awesome. So last week we talked about, and we've been talking about what births, man, this new hope that's within us. Man, what brings it to pass? What makes it come to life? There is a promise that's given by God that's fulfilled through Christ, through the coming of Christ, and there's an inheritance. We said last week there's an inheritance that we all have. There's something that we have as a birthright. It's not, we don't have to work for it. You don't have to try to purchase it. It's given to you for free, right? Something that we all have access to, and that promise that he gives us is eternal life. And over the last few weeks, we've been talking about kind of what's in that eternal life. What, man, what makes it really great? And I won't go back into that. Please check the podcast. But, man, that eternal life is so important. It's so important that we celebrate it in this season, that we know exactly what it is, that, man, that we don't rest on our laurels when it comes to who Christ is and what his word means to us. And so really, kind of the conversation last week, it turned to kind of a big question. The one big question I guess we were trying to answer last week is, man, this promise of eternal life that God has, is it available for me, right? Is it available for me, this promise of eternal life? Man, can I really claim it as mine? Is it really mine? And we said, yes, you can. It is yours, but you have to take the step to believe, right? It's not going to happen. It's not just going to kind of fall in your lap. You have to believe. There's a little bit of action that you have to take. It's available to you. But, man, you've got to open it up. You have to claim it as yours. We talked about that it's like a present under the tree that doesn't have a name on it, right? That if you have a present under the tree that doesn't have a name on it, everybody's going to look, but nobody's going to open it because they don't know what's theirs. And I'm saying, man, our name is on there. And we have every right to claim that in Jesus Christ. Man, he's given us this amazing gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. So it's our job to take ownership of it, of that promise. We have to say, it's mine. It's an inheritance. It's mine. It's all mine. Right? It's like a kid on Christmas. This is my toy. Leave it alone. Don't touch it. This is mine. Don't bother with it. Right? My mom used to do that with us, with nice stuff that she got, like jewelry and stuff. Do not touch my stuff. It's mine. Leave it alone. Don't put your little greasy hands on it. Like, just don't. Anybody else's mom like that? I'm sorry. My mom will say that to me. Right? Just leave it alone. Just don't touch it. It's mine. Right? And if you're new to the faith, or if you're somebody that's kind of skeptical, this might be new to you. Right, this might be something that you've never kind of pondered. Man, I have to go at it and get my faith. Yes, you don't want it to just let it sit. Right, you have to really pursue this thing, this life, this Christian life. You have to go at it. A lot of times we see people that are just passive in their faith. Right, they're passive in how they approach God, and everything is just so kind of okay. But I'm saying, no, let's find some passion. Let's really take ownership of this thing. Let's really find it so that we can take claim to what eternal life gives us. And you might not think, man, that you might be in a place, if you are coming new to the faith, or you've had some stuff happen in your life where, man, this eternal life and the blessings that come from it, you might be thinking, why should I really believe God? Right? Okay, this is mine, and I get that it's available to me, but, man, but why should I believe it? Right, because there's some stuff that's happened in my life. Everything's not shaping up how I thought it was going to go. Man, there are some things that I thought were going to happen by now. There's some stuff, man, I've been waiting for, and I've been praying about it, and I just feel like, man, why hasn't it happened yet? And it can lead to the question, man, why should we believe God? Why should we? And I'm saying that's not a bad question as a pastor. Honestly, that's what keeps me up at night, is having to explain, man, why should these people believe God? I should write something down and think, man, why should we believe God? And I'm saying, yes, you should. Man, why should I trust his promises? It hasn't happened. The stuff I want hasn't happened for me yet. Man, I haven't seen any change in my life. I haven't experienced the hope that you're talking about, PK. Man, I have all these expectations of what my life should look like right now, and I'm not seeing it yet because I don't have exactly what I want yet. It's not in the time that I expected it to come. And so what can happen, right? Why should I believe that Jesus is going to be the change in my life? Well, man, you start to ask these questions, right? And it's almost as if we're putting God on trial, right? It's just like that. It's like we're putting God on trial, right? And so, there you go, right? It's like you're putting God on trial, right? And so any decent lawyer, look, y'all like that. Y'all know that sound, right? So any decent lawyer giving a cross-examination, right? And you've seen Law and Order. I know everybody's watched like a million episodes. You've seen at least 10. I haven't met one person yet has seen at least 10 episodes of Law and Order, right? So when you're watching, you're watching Law and Order, and you see them giving a cross-examination on the stand. And what is the lawyer trying to do? He's trying to impugn the character of the person that's on the stand. Right? He's trying to see, okay, I have you on the stand, man. He's trying to do one, man. They're trying to match or trying to discredit their testimony. And sometimes you have a really good defense attorney, and you've got this witness, and they're trying to be all great. And I'm just telling my story, and they're trying to make them say something that they don't want to say or something that isn't true. Right? Everybody's watched Law and Order. You've seen it before. Right? And so the outcome of the case a lot of times is predicated on how well the witness statements match up with their previous statements or actions. Right? And so the lawyer will sit right there. I didn't go to law school, but I did want to be a lawyer when I was younger. Did a lot of stuff with like mock trial and stuff like that. And my job, I was always the person that did the cross-examinations. And my job was to try to get the other person flustered, right? I wanted to get them messed up and say something that was out of character, that was out of whack with what they were. And a lot of times when we're talking to God, we're trying to get God to speak out of character of who he is. We want God to say something that doesn't align with his word. It doesn't align with what we know of God, of what his word says to us. We're looking for God, man, to produce statements or actions that are different than what we see in his word. But I'm saying, man, it's not really okay to question, but, man, people have been questioning God for a long time. You're not the first person to do it. If you've ever had those questions, if you've ever kind of been in kind of a little frustrated and upset with God, Like, God, man, my career hasn't panned out the way you said. My business hasn't blown up like it was supposed to, right? Man, I'm not married to this particular person or anybody yet. I'm waiting. All right, God, I'm waiting, right? You're kind of waiting for the stuff, and you're saying, you're questioning God, and you're putting him on trial. But here's the thing. The very people that God said were his own did the same thing. If you look back in the Word, the Israelites, every time an amazing thing happened, 5 minutes later, where's God? God, what are you doing? God, you've messed it up again. And God's like, man, I just brought you. Did you see the whales swimming through the Red Sea when it was up? I did that. Did you forget? That was 5 minutes ago. And they're already fussing. They're already questioning God. God, well, we haven't gotten to the promised land yet. God, why haven't we gotten there? He's like, can I get you past the Red Sea first? Can I do that? Right? And they're always mad and always questioning God. God, why isn't stuff going the way that I want it to go? God, I'm just so mad and I'm so upset that, man, this isn't going my way and it's not going the time that I want it. Does that sound familiar to anybody? I'll say it sounds familiar to me because I've done it. God, why hasn't this thing gone my way the way I want it to now? One of my favorite movies growing up was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And if you know, one of my favorite characters in there was not Augustus Gloop. He was great. Who was the girl that was kind of whiny and she was rich and stuff? What was her name? Veruca Salt. Oh! Veruca, I'm sorry. Veruca Salt in my house would have got a spanking. She was, I want a golden egg now. Remember the movie, right? I want it now, Daddy. Give it to me now. She had a little British accent. I want it now. And that was like, okay. Anyway, right? But that's how we are a lot of times. We're God, but I want this now. God, give it to me now. I haven't gotten it yet. You haven't brought my miracle yet, God. And he's like, I'm trying to work on some other stuff in your life first so that I can set you up from what I'm really trying to give to you. But a lot of times we're impatient. I want it now, God. And I'll say, look, I'll raise my hand first because I do it. And I wasn't, God, please, come on, God, you know what I need. We've been asking and praying and pleading for this to come. And he's looking at me like Willy Wonka looked at Veruca Salt like, somebody get an Oompa Loompa and take care of this, please. Like, what is going on with this dude? That's how we are with God a lot of times. At some point, man, we kind of lose our trust in God. The Israelites did that, even as he was delivering them from slavery, in war, in drought, in famine. They still questioned. But he showed them so many times through his mighty and powerful works that his promises are not like the little flippant, casual promises that we make, right? We say stuff, oh, I'm going to do that. And then we kind of forget. And I'll apologize to my wife right here because there's so many times that she's asked me to do stuff and I haven't quite done it yet, and I'm sorry, right? But rather than being like me sometimes, God is faithful to his people. He's so faithful to us. That's why when they were singing this morning, Lord, you are good, I just burst down in tears because I'm like, I just started to think about just a little bit, a percentage of stuff that happened this year in our lives. And I'm like, God, you're so good. Man, you've been so good to me. And I was sitting there just boo-hooing. Lord, yeah, you're good. Yeah, he's good. He's been so faithful. And I'm like, you know what? God, you're faithful to your people, and I know it now because, man, we have an assurance. He gives it to us in his promises, and that comes as a result of being connected to Christ. And in Christ, man, there's so many things that let us know that we should believe in God, right? There's so many things that let us know that, man, if you're doubting, if you've had a doubt, if you're kind of struggling, if you've been in this place where it just feels like you're not making any progress, I want to give you two reasons why you can leave here today saying, man, I believe in God. I believe in him. Man, this is why. Reason number one, making it real simple today. Reason number one, God doesn't lie. God doesn't lie. Reason number one, if you need a reason to believe in God, you're saying, man, why should I trust God? Why should I believe in God? Reason number one is God doesn't lie. In God, we find something that every person on the stand is trying to project when they're in a trial, credibility. We find that in God. We find credibility in God. He's faithful. He's faithful to us. Numbers 23:19 says, man, God is not human that he should lie. He's not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? No, of course not. Credibility is challenged when promises, tasks are not done. Right? Credibility, that's when credibility is challenged, when promises or tasks are not done, when something looks, there's a kink in the armor, when there's something that looks kind of askew, that's when credibility is undone. And I'm saying we serve a God whose credibility is so crazily intact. He doesn't fail us. He hasn't failed us yet. If you've been struggling, that doesn't mean he failed you. It just might mean, man, there were some struggles that were going to come your way. But it doesn't mean that you should give up or that you have to question God and say, man, God, man, I give up. This is not the time to give up. This is the time to keep moving forward because he is faithful. You're still living. You're still alive. You can breathe a breath of air. Some people can't do that today. I was watching a video. My wife was fussing at me watching YouTube videos, and I'm sorry, Facebook videos. But there was this guy, and he motivated me so much this week, and I felt so bad because I saw a bad picture of myself, and I was like, oh, I got to do some stuff. And then what made it worse is I saw this video of this guy, and he had no legs, none, just torso and nothing else. And this dude was working out in the gym and getting it. And I was like, oh, I feel horrible. Right, I felt so bad, and I was like, oh, man, sometimes the chink in my armor, man, I fail to do the things that I want to do, but God is so different than me. He's so different than what I do, right? So in God we find credibility. That's the first thing. The second thing, man, in God we find certainty. We find certainty. God's not wishy-washy. He's not wishy-washy. He's not flaky. 1 Samuel 15:29 says, he who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a human being that he should change his mind. Right? There's no backseas in God. Right? He doesn't go back on what he said. If he said he's going to do it, man, he's certain about it. You don't have to worry. Man, if God did it, man, that settles it. That's all I got to worry about. Man, did God say it? Okay, that means it's going to happen. Number two, man, what's the second reason why I should believe in God? What's the second reason? The first reason, as we said, is that God doesn't lie. The second reason is that his promises are true. His promises are true. And we see it in two ways. The first way is this. He makes promises, right? In order for the promises to be true, he has to make them. So he makes promises. He says, man, I'm going to do something. What are the things that God does? I'm going to give you a listing of them. Because sometimes we forget. As I was sitting there this morning, they were worshiping and saying, man, God, you're so good. I just began to think about certain things that have happened in my life over this year. And that's why I began to cry, because I'm just like, God, you've been so faithful. And, man, here's some of the things that God has promised me, that some of the stuff I've experienced this year. Man, you know what? He's given me a new heart. He's forgiven me of some stuff this year. Can I be honest? There's some stuff that I got wrong. I jacked up. And God was so gracious enough to forgive me. That's enough reason, man. That's an amazing promise. He promises us his Holy Spirit, right? So I don't have to be in this world alone, not without any guidance. I have a person that's with me, that lives in me, that helps me to get throughout my day. And if you don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, if you haven't experienced him yet, we would love to show you how, right? Another promise that he promises us is prosperity, right? Money and finances and all the stuff that comes with that you won't lack. That's another promise of God. Healing is a promise of God. If you're sick, that's not from God. A lot of times we blame. Sometimes we get sick. Man, God has something to do. No, God does. Healing is not a part of God's plan. He promises us health. So healing is something that I know is a promise that he made to me. Wisdom and guidance. If I feel like I need some for whatever I'm going through, whether it's a situation or it's a business or, man, it's something with my family, I can find it in him. It's a promise that he's given us, is that, man, we will have wisdom. that we'll have peace in our home, on our job, in our family, with our friends, that there will be peace. It's another promise of God. And I don't know, I've already hit two or three that I needed. And I'm going to keep going, right? Deliverance, right? Whatever it may be from. I need to be delivered from something. There's something that has been weighing on you, and you need to be free. He promises deliverance. That's what comes with the package, right, of eternal life, of his promises. He promises us protection. Protection. He's got your back. He's not going to leave you out there. That you can overcome temptation. That's another promise. If you're struggling with something, you're saying, man, I can't shake this habit. I can't get rid of this thing. He's saying his promise is that he will help you overcome temptation. That, man, you have freedom from fear. Freedom from fear. I don't have to worry. I don't have to doubt, to be afraid. It's a promise. Love is a promise from God. And we see all of these fulfilled. We see all of these come to pass. We see all of these take place literally in one moment when Jesus comes. All of these prophecies, these promises are fulfilled in Christ. That's why we have a new hope. It's because, man, all the stuff that God promised to me, I now have access to it. I don't have to be lost. I don't have to, man, not have any of this stuff. All this stuff is available to us through Christ. That gives me hope. That helps me, man, to get through my day. And this is something that was promised. It was something that God chose to do through Christ. He was anointed specifically to fulfill these promises. That's why he's called the Messiah, right? Messiah means the anointed one, the chosen one, right? So earlier when we were talking about the Jews and the fact that they were always doubting God, they were always questioning God, God kept telling them, I'm going to give you something. I've set a plan in place from the beginning of time before you were even born. I've set something up so that you can have, A, access to me, and that this life, my wife was talking about that, just the quality of life now, that you will have it now, that you don't have to necessarily, you don't have to wait until the end of your life. You don't have to wait until you die. This eternal life, this everlasting life, you can have it now, and we find it in Christ. But here was the problem with the Jews. Here's what the problem with kind of what they dealt with and why they were questioning God is that their expectation of what Christ, this Messiah, was supposed to be was different than what God had established. Right? So they had an expectation that, man, this thing is going to look this specific way. When my promise is fulfilled, when this Messiah comes, it's going to look like this one thing. They wanted a warrior king who was going to free them in Jesus' time from the Romans. He's going to break us free from this bondage, this slavery, all the stuff that we're going through the Romans. Man, that's what's going to happen. And so when Jesus came on the scene, this unassuming person, right, this person that comes in the form of a child, they're like, what is this? This is the Messiah? A carpenter son? This is like God, this is the best you got? Like, this is all you have? What they expected was different than what God had planned, right? They wanted somebody that was going to come and overthrow the Romans, that was going to set up an earthly kingdom, but that's not what God had in mind. Their hope was so focused on God saving them from their earthly life in their current circumstances, and because they were so focused on God doing it in their way and in their time, they completely missed that God was saving them for their eternal life. And a lot of times with us, man, with us, we get into a moment where we're so focused on this particular circumstance and situation that we miss what God is trying to do for us eternally. God, fix my little problem right now. God, I want it now. God, man, I want this boyfriend, this husband, this job, this career. I want it now. I want my business to blow up now. I want all this stuff now. And God's saying, I'm trying to work something out for you from an eternal standpoint. I'm doing something. I'm taking the long game. right? If you ever play golf, and I don't play a ton of it, I'm terrible. Some of the guys here can tell me because we went out and putted back here somewhere, right? But when you play golf, there's certain things that you do sometimes where a lot of times you might think, oh, I'm going to go straight to the hole every time, right? I'm going to get the biggest club. It's 500 yards away. I'm going to get the biggest thing that can get me as close as I can to the hole quickly. What happens sometimes is that you have to do what they call lay up, right? Maybe you take a club that's a little bit shorter, that's a little bit smaller, so that I'm going to get about halfway there, and then I'm going to pick another club that's going to get me about three-fourths there, and then I can putt to the hole, right? Everybody kind of understand that analogy, right? The same thing happens with God. A lot of times we want God to pull out the big driver. God, give me from zero to 500 now. God's saying, I can't do that because there are some hazards in the way. There's a dirt trap that's right there that I'm trying to not get you messed up in. So I'm going to take you the long route around. It's going to seem like it's out of the way. It's going to seem like, man, you can't go that way. But, man, I'm taking you around so that I can do something amazing with you in the long run. Okay, right? But a lot of times with us, man, we jack it up. And so I'm telling you, man, don't equate God's eternal mission with your conditional issue. A lot of times, man, we want God to solve this one particular problem. We're saying we want to elevate it to the same place as what God's trying to do in our life. He's trying to save us, from our sins, from this stuff that's going on. But we always want to put it on par with what's going on in my moment. I'm so focused on why I'm not getting what I want in my moment that I can't see what God's really trying to do in me. He's trying to change my life. He's trying to save me eternally. We miss the big picture of what God's trying to do in us. Why should we believe in God? It's because he fulfills his promises. He does what he says. Joshua 23:14 says, you know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. I'm here to tell you today that every promise that God has for you is going to be fulfilled. Not one will fail. Not one will fail. Not one will fail. There's no failure in God. I don't have to worry about stuff failing because I have a relationship with him. You know him. He's not going to fail you. He's such a good and faithful God that he's not going to fail you. I can take God at his word. When we begin to question God, he's the most credible witness. He's somebody that you can't impugn his character because he's been so good. And if he did it for you in the past, he's going to do it again. If he's been faithful to you for you before, he's going to be faithful again. He can't fail. What he says would hold up in court. So, man, if we're asking him, okay, well, why should I believe in God? Man, it's because he is faithful. And why? Man, I'm going to take God at his word. What does his word say? We read it earlier. And I want to read it again because, man, I read past it so that in a way that you couldn't see it. But I want you to see just in this one verse, just in this one set of verses, the promises that we have from God. Ephesians 1:3-9 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. When I read his promises for me, I know that they are specifically for me, and they apply to my life. So when it says us, I can say me, right? He predestined me. He adopted me. He has lavished his love and grace upon me. He's done it for me. So we can be a little greedy in that and say, yes, God, it's mine. I want to take it for my own. God, you've given it to me. You're here. That's a, if you want a, just a third reason, you exist. You're here. That's how you know why you should believe in God, that you're living, you're breathing, you're alive. You have another opportunity to make an amazing day. There's no reason, man, if you just needed a confidence booster on, man, why do I actually do this God stuff? This is why. You're alive. That should make us all happy. Right? We're alive. That's why you should believe. God is faithful. Bow your heads, let's pray.
Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com. Or you can check us out on social media at CityHeartJXN.